Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Let's kick it off with WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by our head of production, our co-host, Seth Habhacker.
Good morning.
And one of our newest team members and our sound engineer, producer, wearer of many hats and looks good in all hats, Laura, is with us.
Hi.
Hey, Laura. Hey, Seth. Hey, everybody. Thanks for being here. We got the best listeners in radio with us, and we're going to kick things off the way we like to with our good friend, Brittany Merlot. Good morning, Brent.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. We like to talk to you, Brittany, to check up on weather, get the most informative and fun weather you can get, and that is from Brittany Merlot. But we also wanted to check in on you with the snow going away and everything. You doing all right, Brittany?
Yeah, you're doing good.
How you doing?
Not really, honestly. Thank you for checking in on me. I'm a little sad. All my fun, my outdoor rec, you know, what kind of keeps me sane through it all, is gone.
Oh, feel for you. Do feel for you.
But how about that sunshine, huh?
Mm-hmm. Dude, where is it? I need more of it.
give me that vitamin D.
Seriously. Well, we do have more on the weekend, but the weekend is going to be colder, more Brittany temperatures, below freezing on Saturday, and then flirting with the freezing mark on Sunday. So a beautiful weekend, just a little cooler. But before we get to the weekend, we have to battle the wind. The wind is going to become a problem. It's going to start to whip today up to 30 miles per hour, and then by tomorrow, we're going to see gusts pushing over 40 miles per hour. So it's going to get... Yeah, very breezy. We could see some power outages out there. Your hair is going to be messed up. Ladies, don't even do it the next 2 days.
Ponytail it
ponytail.
Is.
Yep.
Everyone wear a hat.
My exactly. hair. I work really hard on my hair.
Otherwise, though, we're just looking at some spotty sprinkles possible this afternoon. We could see a few flurries late, and that becomes the case tomorrow, too. That's when that cold front moves through. It's why we're getting so windy, and then the big shift in temperatures. So highs today of about 40 degrees. We'll flirt with 50 tomorrow, and then that cold front moves through, and we could see some sprinkles out ahead of it and some slight snow behind it, but nothing that's going to accumulate or really cause any problems. So just a little pesky precipitation and winds the next 2 days. And then a beautiful, calm, but cooler weekend ahead.
All right. Not bad. Brittany temperatures is great. We need to use that more.
The Brittany scale.
Yes,
I like that.
I like that. We appreciate working with you, Brittany, and you joining us. We'll hang out tomorrow. We'll get people ready for the weekend.
Sounds good. Have a great day.
You too.
Best in the business, our friend Brittany Merlot there. We got good things on the way. The El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club is right around the corner. We're also going to get into cars with the fewest issues and the ones with the most. We got that one coming up for you. And the top 10 countries we'd move to if we decided to live abroad.
Ooh.
All fun stuff. We'll kick off the entertainment news with news that you may have heard already in CBS. We're going to be talking about Gene Hackman and his career. We'll get into that. We have someone bought a piece of George Harrison's toast. And it is National Toast Day. So, I mean, this just feels it's perfect to talk about.
That toast must be so stale.
And the sequels and franchise movies that are coming out this year that we'll be touching on that.
Okay.
All that coming up. And we've got coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, what was the biggest flop that was hyped as the next big thing?
Okay.
Oh, love it.
Yeah, that should be a fun one. I actually been saving that one for you, Seth. So that should be fun
awesome.
To get into.
All right.
And of course, it's a Thursday in the 9 o'clock hour. We will kick things off with our good friends from the Southwick County Humane Society and our pet of the week.
Very nice.
Looking forward to Denise joining us in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We got a story from Melissa. This is how much Melissa works. Even when she ain't here for a show, she sends me something for a great topic for a show. So we'll be getting to that in a moment. But first, a New York Zoo offered a sneak preview of some of the artwork that will be available at its upcoming gala auction. Creations by... I'm sorry. I didn't do that right. Creations by animals, including penguins, giraffes, sloths, capybaras, and others. Yes. The Animal Adventure Park and Preserve is in Harpsville. They announced this Dream Big Gala. It's a night out on the town, scheduled for March 15th. It'll feature a silent auction for works of art created by several of the species that call the zoo home.
I love this
really?
So much.
Animal-created art. Ooh, interesting.
I never get tired of these stories. Give all the animals paintbrushes.
Yes. Zookeepers said that they use various methods to encourage the animals to paint as a fun enrichment activity. Keeps the animals' minds occupied, keeps them happy. Mm-hmm. They enjoy doing this. The zoo offered some sneak peeks on social media, sharing photos of animals, including penguins, capybaras, sloths, and giraffes, painting. Now, I have seen a penguin paint. I got to do this in Galveston, or no, somewhere outside of Galveston. There's a great aquatic zoo right there, and I got to go there once, and we got to go inside, and it's this thing that they do at the zoo where you can go in and see this penguin and meet it and pet the penguin, mm-hmm. and then at the end of it, the penguin, they put paint on the bottom of its feet, and it just walks on a little you know, piece of cardboard,
nice.
And whatever comes up with it, then they do a little Q&A, and they quiz you kind of about the things that they just taught you, and if you get it right, you get the painting.
Wow.
I went into this as a birthday gift from somebody, and I went into, and they did not do any homework. We happened to be in Texas, and they were like, "Okay, this would be perfect for you." We go and do this, and there is I can't express. There is nothing but parents and their kids in there. And then me.
Not surprising.
And I had a moment there where they tell us all of this beforehand, and then at the end we're quizzed. And okay, James, how are you going to handle this as a man? Are you going to just sit back and let these kids have this moment and maybe get this painting? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to take advantage of the one moment in your life that you're around a penguin?
Yeah.
And I am not ashamed to admit that I took that painting home.
Yeah,
I took that. I wish to God I still had it, but I took that painting home. I am not ashamed of that whatsoever.
Nice.
But it was so cool to first pet the penguin. A little more oily than I expected, but much softer than I expected as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so cool to see them do this. And that's where I learned where not just them, but giraffes and everything.
Yeah.
They have tried a lot of different experiments as far as like you were saying, Laura, putting a toothbrush or paintbrush in like the giraffe's mouth and that kind of thing. But most of this is done with the hooves, as you'd expect and stuff.
Yeah, elephants, though. Elephants use their trunk and paint all the time.
Yeah.
There are a lot of zoos that do that, and there's lot of places that sell that art. Oh, great stuff.
To that point, animal art aficionados are becoming a bigger thing more and more. there's one little side story here, and I know this isn't going to save us much and everything, but with your fears about AI and some of these things, I don't think AI can do this. I don't think I'll worry about that part.
No.
Would you, because to me, I really wish I still had that painting. I'd have it up on my wall right now. If you had some art like this, would you put it up? Would you put it in your living room and everything?
Yeah.
You've
seen the art in my living room. The standards are strange. Yes, I would hang that art.
Great conversation piece, too.
That's all I have.
The thing to me that stands out with this, and I want to make very clear here. There are a few things in the artistic kingdom that I respect more than artists. I can't draw a stick figure. So I really do admire artists and the great painters. And I have a couple of paintings that I just really enjoy. I look at all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But they're copies. They're not actual
paintings. Right, right.
Yes. This is a whole new level to art for me. I actually really like it. I admit, I think it's kind of cool.
Well, and I love the idea of it being a fundraiser to continue to take care of those animals. It's great. I mean, those animals aren't going anywhere.
Hey.
They can't be released, so they need to be cared for.
And you don't have to pay them. Oh, wait. That was very cynical. I'm sorry.
No. There we go with the AI thing, too. Is this how we make that bridge?
We replace human artists with animal artists because you don't have to pay them.
Just pay them in treats.
That's right.
It is a sweet deal.
A lot cheaper.
It's not. Caring for an animal is expensive as heck.
I wonder if we could pitch this to our friends over at the zoo right a stone's throw away.
Oh, my gosh. That would be so cool if they did some kangaroo art.
Something like that.
Oh,
they got a bunch of great animals over there.
Some
Zedonk
art. Oh, I would frame some Zedonk art.
I will say to anybody out there listening, and I think we have an incredibly smart audience, but we have to be careful with these things. If you are looking at your dog right now and thinking, "Hey, we could make some money here," there is special paint. There are certain paints that they use for these animals. You can't just throw any paint out there. Do your homework.
Your wall acrylic is not going to work.
I might look into it for my rabbit, though. I'm going to be totally real with you.
That might be pretty good. Melissa Kay does an amazing job with with our news and having fun with us here at the station. And I want to count, let me just make sure here, the 25,000 other things she does around here.
Right.
But another thing, she just sends me content every once in a while. It's some good stories. And there's sometimes where it's something that I have seen, and it's just kind of another side to that story. And then every once in a while, she just like hits me over the head with something that I did not see coming, but I should have. It's either my wheelhouse or something I pay a lot of attention to. And it just speaks to how much information and how busy
get. Oh, yeah.
Because this is one I normally would know about, but Mel sent it over. And thank you, Mel. Appreciate you. A very rare treat is about to grace Earth's night skies. Tomorrow evening, February 28th, all seven of our planets in the solar system will appear in the night sky at the same time.
Oh, that's so cool.
Saturn, Mercury, talking Neptune, Venice, Uranus, where you at? Jupiter and Mars all lining up in a neat row, just like we asked them to.
Yes.
A magnificent sky feast for your eyes known as the Great Planetary Alignment.
Yes, that's so cool.
Will we be able to see it with the naked eye, or do we need telescopic devices?
From what I could tell, a telescope is probably going to be necessary. But
the distance, the most distant planets, yeah.
We'll probably still see Venus and Mars.
Yes, yeah. Yes. These alignments aren't the near neat planetary cues you see in diagrams and illustrations, of course. Don't be expecting that. But that's but that's not something that happens anyway.
No.
Yet the planets do appear to arrange themselves along an imaginary line.
That's very cool.
So cool.
And that's not just coincidence, of course. The atmosphere of these
circles.
Planets and the way that
their
they
orbits,
move and
yep.
everything, we can't be too close to each other.
It wouldn't work that way.
Yeah, nope.
They got to be. This is the school dance. You know, we got to keep a certain distance apart.
Right.
Got to keep a certain distance.
Well, there's a reason the planets are where they are.
What a weird
it's what
place
they're
to
made
go
of,
with that.
And it's what they're
the school dance. It's the solar system dance. It only happens once every, couple thousand years.
I just have a weird brain. I don't know. This occurs because the planets of the solar system all orbit the sun on a flat plane called the ecliptic. And some of the planets have orbits titled still tilted slightly above or below this plane.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all more or less on the same level, like grooves on a record, thanks to the way stars like our sun form.
Cool.
Yep.
And the way the planets bump into each other when they're jumping. Yep. Yep.
The materials that swirl together. Yep.
How to watch. Whether you will be able to see the alignments at what time the planets rise and set, in which order, depends on where you are in the world you're viewing from. There are tools you can access these time and sky locations. Time and date, that has an interactive tool that allows you to set the date you want to view. So you can view it online. It's It is literally timeanddate.com.
Timeanddate.com.
Timeanddate.com. Very good.
That one tells you right there very well. And really good description. A very nice website, actually. I have to admit, I did not know about this website. I hadn't seen that before. That one helps you out with that in Kindleline.
Yeah.
Stellarium has a similar website tool.
Okay.
And Sky Tonight, which is, again, all one word, skytonight.com.
Right.
These are great ways to be able to find this because, you will need some binoculars or a telescope to see the planets in all their glory. So if you haven't already, start planning now.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't, and again, as far as the time, you're going to have to look to where you are in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to say a good morning to some of our East Coast listeners. I know you guys are listening because you wanted to hear us talk about something coming up. we do shout you out. We do appreciate you. And thank you again, Melissa, sending this one over.
Very cool.
I'll include those links in the show notes.
Thank you, Laura. And sciencealert.com. That's where you can go for all this. Sciencealert.com for this great article.
Fantastic.
Science Alert. I see a siren and red light flashing. Science Alert. Science Alert.
Science. We will come back with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. We're doing some celebrating when we get back on the morning show at WFHR. You heard Mr. LeBron. It's time for the Birthday and Anniversary Club. One of our favorite parts of the day, we celebrate you and our great friends over at El Cafe. Something about Duran Duran in the morning. I don't know.
Get you going, man.
I don't know what it is.
Wake you up.
Hungry like the wolf or some Rio. That's going to be played in my head all morning.
There you go.
We appreciate our great friends over at El Cafe. Visit them today at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. They wish everyone a happy Thursday. Got some great specials over there. If your bellies are hungry or you just want chili with a hot cup of coffee, El Cafe is the place to be. They're open 7 to 2 today. And if that sounded really good to you, not only does it sound good, but tastes really good, get on over to El Cafe and check out their Facebook page, because I just read that right from their Facebook page.
You did?
Yep.
They have all the info you need right there.
It's all there for you. Also, a great way to keep up to date on the cool things they are doing. And like their posts and share them on your page. You just never know who might see them otherwise. Support our good friends over at El Cafe. And get us those birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. We love celebrating with you.
We do.
You can email us, info@WFHR.com. Feel free to do that. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can direct message us on our Facebook pages. We'd love to hear from you that way. And you can call up
715-424-2600, the number to call. Lisa, your Time Life operator is standing by. No.
That was good. That was good. Boy, if they could still use somebody like that, we might have something there. But.
Did they have just the one? This Lisa?
Yes. Yeah,
poor Lisa. Man, I feel bad for her.
She's so overworked. Yeah. I hope she's retired now. I hope she's just resting.
Yeah.
Get us those birthdays and anniversaries. And thank you to everybody who already has, because we got two on the list today. Laura, give me a one or two.
Two.
All right. Gives us that qualifier. We can get right into it. And first up, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Julie Spice.
Happy birthday, Julie.
Happy birthday, Julie.
Enjoy your day, Julie. Hope it's a great one. Mm-hmm. That's a new name for us. I don't believe we've had Julie on the list before.
No, that's cool.
That's fantastic. We appreciate that. Thank you to whoever got us that name. And Julie, you have an awesome name. Julie Spice. That's a great name.
Julie
that's
Spice.
That's pretty cool, name. Man.
That's a good one. And our qualifiers celebrating their silver anniversary, their 25th anniversary, Joshua and Shauna Kreitzner.
Aw, congratulations.
Congrats.
Happy anniversary.
Many happy returns.
Joshua and Shauna, wishing you a great one. Enjoy your anniversary and hope it's extra better because you are qualifiers.
Yeah, exactly.
You.
Yeah.
Brag to as many people as you can that you are qualifiers. Go around, do it. We take a look at our celebrity list. Kate Mara is 42 today. Wow, she's 42. Wow.
Yeah.
Zoe Barnes on House of Cards. She was Sue Storm in the Fantastic Four reboot. Mm-hmm. She and her sister, Rooney, are the NFL royalty. Their dads is the Maras, who founded and still own the New York Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And their mom's family is the Rooneys, who founded and still own the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right.
Sorry. Their careers... doing much better than the New York Giants. Let's put it that way. Way better than the Giants.
Rooney Mara is amazing.
Yeah, she's good.
Kate's very good, but Rooney, that woman can act. But I didn't realize they were in their 30s, late 30s, 40s and stuff.
Yeah, getting up there apparently.
Josh Groban is 44.
Happy birthday, Josh Groban.
Man, that voice.
I'm a huge fan. I love him.
I don't want to use this as an opportunity to like take a shot at Michael Bublé or any of some of the modern crooners or anything like that. But when I hear people put Josh Groban in that category, I get a little like twinge.
Me too.
Because Josh Groban is a whole other category.
Yeah.
I don't know you can really even categorize him, especially at this point in his career.
Michael Bublé is trying to be one thing, and Josh Groban is a musical theater like legend at this point. He is a Broadway professional.
He
could do opera. I mean, he's got the kind of trained voice. Yeah, Michael Bublé can do lots of things. He can't do opera.
He can't do opera.
Josh Groban could do opera if he wanted to.
I do want to say I like both these singers. I'll be honest. I don't have any other music in my playlist shuffle or anything like that. But I think they're both incredible singers, and I've heard them.
But they're just different. Yeah.
One of the only things I can say about like this fringe of kind of musician or this music and everything, if it's on, I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to change a channel right away. I'm alone, I will. I'll be honest. But if somebody else wants to play it, I'm like, okay, this is fine. At least these are talented people. It's different than something else. But I just think that it's okay. We don't have to categorize people. Like this guy is a completely different, versatile talent that can do it all.
Mm-hmm.
And incredibly self-deprecating. Very self-deprecating.
Yep.
It seems to be that you can't be a great male singer unless you are Michael Bublé. What's the big singer with the long hair? He's like 18 feet tall. Halazé. Hosier's
a different.
He was on SNL, and he had all these bits they weren't able to do where they were making fun of him, and he like came up with some of the, like helped some of the lines right. of it. They were cut for time.
Well,
but he's another one. Like apparently you can't be this good of a singer and be a male good singer without having some self-deprecation, which is great. That's awesome.
You're secure in your talent.
Yes.
Yeah. They don't need. Yeah. They're like, what? I don't need to prove anything to anybody.
I love that. I love that.
You want to make fun of me for being 6'6"? Yes, Hosier. I would. I would very much like to do that.
I'm sure it's not where it stops, though.
Can I touch your hair?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I was waiting for it. Chelsea Clinton is 45 today.
Wow.
Former first daughter. I don't know how you would say that, but
yeah, I believe that is the correct terminology. I just realized she's a year younger than me.
Yeah, no, wow. Yeah.
Because we grew up, you know, basically at the same time, you know, you remember in the 90s.
And we all those of us that grew up then are just growing up in general. Remember mm-hmm. how tough it is.
Oh, my God.
It's difficult. I mean, pimples, puberty, you know, trying to talk to the other sex or whatever, or any of these things. Yep. It's all
being
difficult.
The president's kid.
Then Oof. Being the president's kid. Like, there's few people that can relate to that.
No, nope.
There's few people other than, obviously, you know. The
like other president's kids.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, right.
There's nobody that can relate
and
to
and a lot of
like
them
that.
Tended to be in, a little bit older, you know. Like
they were usually teenagers.
Yeah, Al Gore's daughters. You had, you know, like the Bush girls. They were a little bit older when they were in office. So, yeah. She had it even tougher, I think.
You know, Obama's daughters.
They were quite younger.
He was the youngest president, wasn't he? I think that might be a part of it.
Something of that. Like
but
that,
yeah. I just have a lot of respect for Chelsea Clinton, just mm-hmm. in general on that level. And certainly the fact that it seems like she has done a lot to try to do good in where she is and try to put into things and do some good.
And not do politics, at least not yet. Yes. I mean, she might in the future, but yeah, she seems to have been.
I don't think
stay away from that.
I really don't. I don't think she's going to.
Tony Gonzalez is 49, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, tight end in history. He mm-hmm. holds every NFL record for tight ends. He retired back in 2013 and inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2019.
Yeah.
Not bad. He needs work at it, but he's getting better and better at the whole commentating thing.
Yes.
Rosanda Chili Thomas from TLC is 54.
Yeah.
No Scrubs, Waterfalls, Creep, so many. Mm-hmm. I love Creep. I still hear that whenever
I just, still I really awesome like tune. TLC. It's one of those bands I just can't. I can't shake them.
One of the better character actors, I think, Donald Loja is 59 today. Harvey Bullock, Jim Gordon's partner in Gotham TV show. Mm. He's King of Denmark and Vikings, and the star of The Tao of Steve. One of those actors I think you see, you know. Mm-hmm. And just a good, solid actor.
Yes.
Just does a good job wherever you see him. I enjoy his work.
Still don't know how to pronounce his last name.
I went both ways just to cover my bases. I'm with you.
Real quick. He was on a show in the late 90s called, I think, Grounded for Life.
Yes.
That was actually a pretty good, like a single camera kind of sitcom, you know, filmed. It wasn't on a stage. And that was actually a pretty fun show.
It was, yeah. James Worthy is 64. His goggles, 39. great L.A. Laker.
Yeah, one of the all-time great Lakers.
One of the greats. And never looked like an athlete to me until you saw him like actually in action. And like, okay, yeah, that's why. Yeah, I believe he was on one of those North Carolina teams with Jordan as well. One of the greater NCAA basketball teams of all time.
Yes, you are correct.
Let's see here. Ralph Nader turns 91 today.
Oh, my goodness.
Spent his life warning people about things like hazardous things to your health.
And, car safety. That was how he made his first fame, I guess you would say.
And also, you certainly ran for president. Was
a few times.
Party and everything. Yeah, yeah. And a little surprise, you know, at 91, he's still young enough to do it, apparently.
Apparently. Like,
apparently, you know, that's not too old to run for president anymore.
He may do it, too.
Yeah, yeah.
He's still writing, and he's still, he's still staying very busy. Yep.
I'm going to be real with you. I'd consider it.
The great, the legend, the wonderful Joanne Woodward is 95 today.
Oh.
I cannot tell you how happy I am to say that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The three faces of Eve. There are few art students I have had that I have not encouraged to watch certain movies. This is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you were I recommended this to a friend who's a friend now but started out as a student. And he was struggling with a darker role. And I told him, you watch this movie. Watch Joanne Woodward. Edward. He's like, but why should I watch a female actress? Because you're an actor.
Yep.
And we had a long conversation after that.
Yep.
You can learn quite a bit if you just go ahead and take that off and just watch. And this is two male and female actors,
yep.
but
yeah.
It is something that was kind of odd to me. If you're good at this,
doesn't
I'm
matter.
Studying you and I'm learning and I'm a vampire trying to suck out all the information and knowledge I can to get me great. Joanne Woodward's one of those actors, just one of those actors you watch their work and you learn from and you grow and you enjoy. Obviously, Paul Newman's widow as well. Mm-hmm. And just one of the better Hollywood couples of all time.
Yep.
That just love those two.
They figured it out somehow with all the fame and all the, they figured it out.
Howard Hessman, born on this day in 1940, passed away not too long ago in 2022. Johnny Fever. WKRP in Cincinnati.
Yes.
And, of course, head of the class.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Good. Very good actor.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Had some great roles throughout his career.
Character stuff and throughout. Yep.
Yeah. I enjoyed him. Mm-hmm. And the legend, Elizabeth Taylor, born on this day in 1932, passed away in 2011. It's unfortunate that so many, like even our generation, kind of knew her as White Diamonds.
Yep.
And, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
She had the amount of all the divorces and the marriages and all these things. You go back, you watch one scene. Just go ahead. Go ahead and throw into your search engine Elizabeth Taylor actress and just whatever pops up and watch it, and you're going to see one of the greatest of all time.
Yep.
I don't care what you're watching. I don't even have to bring up one of her great roles or anything like that. Early in her career, late in her career, it doesn't matter. Yep. Whatever goes on the sidelines, when the cameras were on, Elizabeth Taylor brought you everything she had, and she's part of the reason why the phrase "leave it all on the stage" exists.
Yeah. The movie might suck, and she still rocked. Yeah. Like, that's just what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just incredible actress. And it's unfortunate to me that she kind of remembered for some of these other things. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that she's really remembered for being one of the greats like she should be. She was an incredible actress. Again, happy birthdays and anniversaries to everybody out there celebrating.
Woo! Yes, indeed.
I can't think of a better way to celebrate than with our great friends at El Cafe. Get on over there today. Mm-hmm. They're at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. They're waiting for you. Go ahead and head on over there. We got our sports news and partner break. We'll be back with more. It's Laura, Seth, and James on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR. Laura, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us. In a little bit, we're going to get into the top 10 countries we'd move to if we decided to live abroad.
Oh, yeah.
That one's coming up. But
cool.
Right now, Alexa might be getting a little bit smarter, everybody.
Oh.
Amazon announced that they're rolling out a new version called Alexa Plus to a handful of users in March, then everyone else over the next few months. It's supposed to be more like an actual assistant. Then they say she can do things like make dinner reservations, order groceries, book an Uber, text people, buy stuff on Amazon, of course, and snag concert tickets when they hit Ticketmaster. She can also browse the internet and complete tasks. One example they gave was getting an appliance fixed. She can find a repair place, set up an appointment, and add it to your calendar all on her own. She also remembers things, like you could tell her your family is coming over for dinner, and she might say, don't forget, your nephew is gluten-free. She's protective in other ways, too, like telling you to leave early because traffic is bad. Amazon says it feels less like interacting with tech and more like engaging with an insightful friend.
No, I hate it. No.
Prime members will get it for free.
Friend.
I don't want it.
Everyone else will have to pay $20 a month. Basically, it means everyone is about to get their own virtual assistant that can do a lot more than just turn lights off. People with newer Echo Show devices will get it first. Mm. That's Amazon's smart speaker with a built-in screen, Echo.
Gotcha.
I think that first off, just real quick, naming devices or naming things going forward. I want Dr. Seuss to be in charge of this. I'm tired of everything having a regular name. Echo, Alexa. Like, it's too much. It's too much. Just make up names. The flibbly flap.
Yeah, something fun. Yeah.
Yes, have some fun with this. And be some creativity. Again, I keep on coming back to this, everybody. The individuality and creativity that has been taken out of so many aspects of our society, whether we're talking sports or politics or whatever, even in the car game, anything. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no creativity anymore, and these companies are so afraid to take a chance. You know what? Echo sounds safe. We'll just name it Echo. Yeah, it's so lazy and uncreative and confusing. Very confusing. Very.
I'm very concerned about this. I do not like the amount of access this Alexa seems to have to a person's things. It, like, to know that your nephew is gluten. I'm sorry. What? What? I would be angry if Alexa knew what my nephew was allergic to. I don't want Alexa to buy tickets for me, because what if my money's not there right now, Alexa? Yeah, yeah. What if I was going to get it in a month?
But she knows that too.
I hope not. Like, that's horrifying.
I know this is something that bugs you too, Seth. This is something.
Well,
that,
that's actually the new trend right now in AI. It's called agents. You know, that's the next thing they're trying to work on. And I say trying to work on because so far, most of them don't work very well. And I'm guessing that's going to happen with this, too. With people are going to get it and are going to try to try to use it like they described, you know, just like that. And then what? Right. You know, so I don't know. It's not something I would personally do. I don't think I would do that either. Because basically what Laura was touching on is that they're using all that information you give them to sell your to advertisers. Yeah. They're going to sell it to advertisers. Yeah. That's how all tech companies make their money, including Amazon. Amazon is not necessary. It's not a retailer. They're a tech company, and they do that, and that's what they do. That's what Google does. That's what Apple does.
They're not
even
just selling your information to retailers. They are literally buying those retailers' merchandise. That's what she's doing. Like, that's what this 2.0 upgrade is saying it's doing. What if I wanted to switch laundry detergent brands, and you just bought me a pallet of Gain, Alexa?
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, I was...
Who's buying a pallet of Gain? I love that
me,
idea.
Me, I'm buying a pallet of Gain, Seth.
Four kids, yeah.
And a rabbit? Come on.
I was trying my hardest to find the name of the robot from the Jetsons. Rosie.
Rosie.
Rosie the robot.
Yeah, see,
Rosie.
That's what...
I couldn't find that.
Rosie at least
that's
had...
That's what we want. We want a robot maid. We do not want a virtual assistant. These are different.
Hey, remember, like, the original virtual assistant, Clippy?
Yeah.
From Microsoft Word? Remember Clippy?
Was great. I would take Clippy over Alexa any day.
And very helpful. Only when you needed it, though. You know, Clippy would pop up, hey, you need help with this? And you say yes or no, you know? It's perfect.
It's interesting. There's two things that stand out to me about this. One, I do like the idea of people having an assistant. I do like the idea of and it not necessarily being a human being. Mm-hmm. It being something that we're using our technology. We have this tech. We can use it. Let's find smart ways to use it. If it makes people's lives a little bit easier, a little less on their plate, that sounds great, especially with how much is put on every individual's plate. I like that part of it. And I don't see a need for that, but I also see something happening here, and it's been going on for a while, and it's very confusing to me in some ways. It's not on an adult level, but on a basic level, it is. In society, we ask for it, we get it. Mm-hmm. That's how business works. The public demands it, or we want this, or something like that. Everybody raise your hands or call in 715-424-2600 if you've been asking for a AI virtual assistant. Nobody's been asking for this.
Who wanted this?
Yet every one of these companies, Apple, Amazon, they all got these, Gemini,
OpenAI,
Alexa, they all have these things and they're pushing it on us. And nobody's asking for it.
No.
I'm not saying nobody's using it, but just because you're using it doesn't mean you wanted it or you asked for it.
It just appeared, right? On Google stuff. It just all of a sudden we had it. It's like, what?
That right there, and maybe it's just my silly rebellious brain, but that right there tells me I don't know about that.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know if I want that.
It's fair.
I come from an area where pushers and people like
literal pushers.
Yes, literal.
You know
literal.
What it feels like when people are pushing
and
something
on
you.
That's what it feels like. It feels like the guy on the side of 111th that's got all the watches trying to sell to a bunch of kids. And I'm a kid. I don't need a Rolex. Right. What are you doing?
And maybe it's just the people I hang out with, and I maybe just hang out with weird people, but I honestly don't know anybody who who's really gung-ho about AI the way that they keep trying to sell it to us.
Yeah.
I really don't. I don't think I know anybody.
They're trying to create a market where none exists right now.
Exactly.
Yes. There isn't one for, you know, yeah, ChatGPT, it's kind of interesting. You know, you can do some things, but it doesn't do a whole lot.
No,
it really doesn't.
I'd rather have my old Google search back and not have to go to page 7 to find good stuff.
Oh, nah, that's getting into the thick of it. We don't need to get into that right now. By the way, where's the anti-pronoun crowd calling it she?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
You can't get farther from any kind of living being than what Alexa or all these others are. Why are we using like gendered pronouns for them? That doesn't make
AI.
Any sense.
It's AI.
They don't even have a body.
If you can respect AI's pronouns, you can respect my friend's pronouns.
We will take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and we're talking about travel. We're talking about the countries you'd move to if you decided to live abroad. Coming up on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Laura, Seth, and James here with you. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope your Thursday is going good. Your Friday Eve is treating you well. So I want to talk about this one, but I do want to rip a Band-Aid off real quick, just because we are still kind of close to the conversation of those that may have not been happy with the current presidential election and this threat that was coming around, or this idea, I shouldn't say threat, but this idea of, well, I'm going to take my ball and go home, or I'm going to leave and I'm going to move to another country, blah, blah, blah,
sure,
whatever.
Right.
That's not what this is. That is not what this is at all. This has nothing to do with that. I think we've talked about that part of things already enough.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do want is to have some fun with this one, and I want to hear from you guys out there.
Yeah.
You guys have been really quiet this week. you got some work. You guys know that you're part of this show, too.
Come on.
You got to interact with us.
We'd love to
hear from you. One of us. Any chance to do that, I will take that the rest of my life to do the one of us thing. We want to hear where you'd go, where you'd travel, where you'd live, if you could. I cannot fathom. I want to travel to every continent. I would love to visit, see the Seven Wonders, all these things. There's only one place I want my home address, and it's right here in the U.S.
All right.
I love this country. I love being here. I also say all this knowing there's a lot of countries out there I wouldn't last. I got too big of a mouth. There's no way I would last over those. But I do think it's kind of a fun exercise and kind of fun what-if question of, hey, you could live somewhere else abroad. Where would you go? Mm-hmm. And where do other people, where would they go? So would you ever move to another country for a while? And that's another part of this, for a while, they're saying. 17% of Americans say yes. 2% claim that they already have plans to move in the next 5 years.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow.
So which country would you pick? Okay. 2,000 people were polled, and the number one answer isn't very far away. Canada.
What?
No, that's fair.
19% said it would be their top choice.
Really? Canada.
Well, because it's close enough. It's you're still by family. You've still got stuff that you're used to having.
There's the language there and everything, I suppose. But wow.
I think
it's just the weirdness that you have a chance to pick anywhere, and you're like, oh, we'll just go up north, We'll go up north, north there, We'll see what's going on up in Canada,
Yep.
People like familiarity, I think. And I think for some people, especially if you don't know that much about Canada, all you know is like from TV and movies and everything, you might think it's like a parallel universe Earth. America. Where it's just, they're not that different than us and all these
things. In a lot of ways, that is true. But there are differences, and there's, it's not. And,
howdy.
And if you're only looking at like the good stuff of Canada, it's like, they got their problems too. Let's put that out there.
When it comes to those problems, Seth, I always think about what my papa used to say when my nana, there was some kind of like snowstorm coming to Rome or whatever, and she was like, there's got to be somewhere we can move where there isn't problems. And he's like, Anna, there's problems everywhere. Hawaii's got tornado or hurricane.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Everywhere's got something. Yep. Every country has something.
Absolutely.
As well. And the grass is always greener.
Always. It always seems that way.
Italy came in at number 2 with 11%.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh, wow. You know, again, there's the upside of Italy. You know, we always see, you know, it's like, oh, look at that. There's these lovely, quaint towns, you know, the mm-hmm. beautiful countryside and the vineyards and the olive, you know, the olive trees. And, you know, they take naps in the middle of the day. You know, and the food is wonderful kind of thing. And yeah, I could totally see that one.
Well, and there's also the element of how many of these people have actually traveled to Italy before. Because I bet Italy is pretty high up on the list of places Americans have gone to. So maybe somewhere that, you know, a lot of these people who voted for Italy have been there mm-hmm. and kind of have a concept of what it would be like.
Exactly.
That's kind of cool to see it at number two there and everything. And I think all the points you guys said are true. And as far as like romanticizing countries, I don't mm-hmm. think there's a country that's romanticized more than Italy.
100%.
I'm a little closer to this one. And there are a few things I am as proud of as I am being an Italian and everything. Nope. No way. Not a darn way you're going to catch me living in Italy. I will visit. I will spend months there. Mm-hmm. I would absolutely love to be a regular. Ain't no way you could catch me. My family moved that from there for a reason.
Maybe a vacation home.
I ain't going back. And imagine my ancestors. I moved back there or something. Like, what do we leave for?
Well, that ties into my answer for it, though, a little bit. Because for me, my answer would be Ireland. And yeah, my family came here from there. But the reason they left isn't a problem anymore. So, like,
sure. Interesting. You mentioned that they're coming up. England is at number 3 with 10%, tied with Australia at 10%. Mm-hmm. Ireland at number 5 with 8%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I was expecting it to be on the list. And well, and with Ireland, Australia and Britain, the language thing.
That's the first thing that
pops up. That does help, yeah.
4 of the top 5 wouldn't require you to learn a new language.
Which I think it plays a huge role in this, yeah.
France comes in at number 6. A little surprised to see that high on the list, but mm-hmm. again, romanticizing and
especially the south of France.
Yep.
Because that's where all the, you know, the vacation area and the very pretty, you know, landscape is and everything, yeah.
I feel like if people did their homework, this one would be a lot higher on the list. Switzerland at number 7.
Yeah, my number 2 is Norway, so we're not in the same ballpark.
Yes, the problem is that good luck, everybody. Mm-hmm. They allow no one outside of Switzerland to live in Switzerland.
It's kind of...
They are strict.
It's kind of well known, I think, that Australia... is one of those places mm-hmm. that you know has a very strict policy
immigration
as far as
policy,
and all those things. Mm-hmm. Switzerland is like 5,000 times that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if Mother Teresa's getting into Switzerland. Right. I don't know. You know.
And to be honest, there's a lot of stuff in Switzerland. I don't think I'd be keen on living there anyway. In a lot of ways, it's a somewhat repressive society as well because mm-hmm. of the way they guard their
everything
Swissness or whatever it is. You know.
No, yeah.
And I have a Swiss last name. I mean,
no, and then there's an element of toxicity to holding things like that too mm-hmm. dear.
Yeah.
Costa Rica at number 8 with 5%, then Scotland at number 9 with 4%, and Germany at number 10 with 4%.
Okay, I was expecting Germany on the list. I'm surprised it's number 10.
That's a huge jump. Costa Rica to Scotland?
Yeah.
That has been people who've never been to Scotland and seen the weather.
Yeah.
Oh, it is horrible.
I got to say, one of the top 10 places I want to visit, though.
Yeah, Scotland. Absolutely. Yeah. Live anew. Thank you.
I'm a little surprised Greece wasn't on the list.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, yeah. I wonder if that's the economy thing or whatever.
Oh, it maybe. Might be.
Let's take a call. Good morning. You're on the show.
James, you must have been, you know, AI in my household the last couple of days. Because when we watched the Americans, I know we talked about this on Tuesday, mm-hmm. when we watched the Americans, it was kind of one of those things that my significant other and I, we were talking, and it's like, where would you like to live or visit? What's on your bucket list? Mm-hmm. And that was one of the questions that we talked about. And, you know, she's like, well, I would love to go to Ireland or, you know, things like that. And I said, well, would you want to live there or would you want to do the tourist thing? She's like, well, she's not really much of the tourist type person. It's like, if we go to the Bahamas or something like that, she, you know, we're pretty much going to sit by the water or by the pool and drink our Mai Tai. But, I don't know if they're like you. I'm kind of like you, James. I don't know if I could live outside the United States.
Yeah.
Visit, yes.
Mm-hmm.
My bucket list is obviously going to be Scotland just because of my passion for golf.
Nice. Okay. Good place to go for
that's
it. Yeah.
Awesome, actually. Yeah, that's really cool.
But, you know, there's more things in the United States that might on my bucket list than is outside the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, but if I had to play, if I would have to choose, it would probably be in Europe. You know, England. Yeah. Just, you know, even though the language barrier is not too bad,
right?
But you know, they have the golf. They have the great golf courses.
Right. I mean, right.
Yeah. Good.
It's
stuff.
About the golf.
Yeah. Exactly.
I do. I'm glad you called in, man. So my mom and dad, in retirement, they've like run out of things to watch, and they're a little bored. So every week, I'm kind of like set. One of my jobs is to come up with things for them to watch and for them to be entertained by, mm-hmm. or whatever.
Right.
And I do very. I'm up 50-50 on this one. I took your suggestion about the Americas, to my parents, and they just fell in love with it. And now you have to give them recommendations, Kevin. It's now. I will give you their email. And no, I do appreciate that though, man. And I did get to catch a little bit of it with them. And just a shout out again to Tom Hanks, who is just as great of an actor as he is. I'm starting to wonder if he's an even better narrator.
Oh.
Like he's like there's. I know we say Morgan Freeman and some people like that. If you gave him as good of a voice as Morgan Freeman, or however you want to word that, like he's maybe even better. His pronunciation and so many things. He's like a singer with the way he does his narration. He's really, really good at this.
That's good.
Which isn't shocking to anybody. Tom Hanks is good at acting.
He's acting into a microphone. Yeah.
Kev, appreciate you, man.
Sorry, guys. You guys have a great day.
You too. You too. It's a good conversation, right?
You know, James, real quick, because I know we got to get out of here, but you touched on something really interesting, you know, about, you know, as your the pride of your Italian heritage and all of this stuff. You know, that made me really think about, you know, about where, you know, my ancestors are from. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't consider myself. Yeah, I have people that lived in Sweden that were my, you know, Switzerland and other parts of Europe that were, you know, that's where I came from. But I am not interested in being, going back to those places because I am not a Swede.
Yeah.
Right. I am not. I'm, like you said, I'm an American.
Yeah.
And this is my home, man. And sorry, you know, I'm not interested in calling myself those things. Yeah. I just want to be an American,
agreed.
Right?
Can't relate.
I agree, and for me, it's one of those things too. Not only that this is my home. This is my home. This is my family's home. This
other
is,
people feel that way about their home countries. Why can't we feel that way about ours?
Yeah, I don't know. They're gonna have to kick me out. They're gonna
that's
have to
right.
literally kick me out, kicking and screaming, because nobody's taking this that from me.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody.
That's right.
And when I think of the generations, I'm only 3-4 generations removed from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're more recent.
And
yeah.
everything. And for that, again, it feels a little bit like, why did we do this? If you're just gonna go
right, exactly.
I don't feel like getting haunted by my ancestors.
No, not at all.
I got enough props. I got enough things. We'll come back with our pet of the week from the Suffolk County Humane Society and more.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.